stand for pride. One more season till we flip the ride. You want the throne, you gotta earn that ring. Let's see who wears it when we crown the king. This is game day, lights on, lights hot. Let's ride. Snap back to the action, cleats in the turf, blood in the dirt, now tell me what it's worth. Jiggy got two, Buck Nuts got one, but the field's full of sharks and they smell that run. Coaches talk big, fans scream loud, but only one team gets to stand that proud. Game of the week, yeah, we circle it red. Legends get born and the weak play dead. Live from the booth, we break it all down. Game of the week, who's taking the crown? Lights on, helmets crash. Last day is one shot, make it last. Crowns don't wait for the timid assault. If you ain't built for war, better walk off. Boom! That's my beers get loud. Marching the history, chasing that crown. Who's got the heart? Who's got the grit? This is season 32. This is it. This is game day, where the stories get told. One last run before this version folds. No scripts here, just fate and fight. No second chances on Saturday night. Pick your poison, run that play. Every dog got bark till you bring that pain. This ain't no story, it's live on the set, where the field gets wet from the blood and sweat. So line them up, coaches, stars, the elite. Who's taking this crown? Who's tasting defeat?
The countdown's over.
We're live. This is game day, one final chapter to write. Will it be Jiggy? Will it be Buck Nut? Or will the whole damn field rise up and ignite?
What is going on, everyone? I'm here with Penguin, Pat, Mark, Smitty, and Big Red, and this is Lick. We have a great show planned today. We're going to be revealing the college football playoff for the first time in season 32. I know that's going to spark some debate with our members here, as well as the league, as every early poll in college football playoff does. We're going to talk about big SEC matchups that are coming up in block six, as well as some of your favorite NDL pick'ems we'll do at the end of the show. We're also going to talk about some of the big games that we've had over the last couple weeks. How's everybody doing today? How are you doing today, Penguin?
Pretty well. Survived the great Tennessee Greenback Tennessee earthquake of 2005 this morning, and other than that, I'm pretty well. Pat, how you feeling?
Waking up. You know, Big Red got me fired up. For two reasons. One, he finally figured out how to mute his mic. And number two, just gave a hell of a speech about 90 seconds before we started.
Hey, guys, it's great to be back on game day. This show is incredible. And listening to all the talk, it's great. It gets me excited to see what goes on this week. So I'm pumped, and game day is what a great intro song. Loved it, fellas.
Yeah, like Pat said, man, I mean, Greg got me fired up. Hell, I'm on top of the world right now after that fucking speech. I mean, hell, go Iowa. Fuck Ole Miss. Go Iowa.
What about you, Big Red? How are you?
Is the problem with teaching him how to mute his mic?
He didn't figure out how to unmute.
Hey, motherfucker, listen here. Man, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to come out of retirement. Sorry, I was running up the stairs and I did mute my mic for it.
Thank you.
We're in the house, though. Man, I'm happy to be back on NDL game day and just bring a little bit of positive juice early in Saturday morning.
Man, so we'll kind of jump right in it, Penguin. This one's going to – you can go ahead and start this one off. With the season over, halfway over right now, what is one of the big games that sticks in your mind from this season already? Most probably it's going to be most likely a recent game.
Most likely? Well, I mean, I think you got to touch back on one we've I can't remember if we addressed this last week, but the Texas-Oklahoma game, just showing how wide open the SEC is – it truly is at this point, you know, even though you've got – Ole Miss sitting out in front, quite clear that you've got a five or six teams that any single one of them could beat the other right now, and all of them are title contenders.
For me, and that is true, Penguin. That was a huge game. Obviously, I think, was it seven interceptions, Tim, that were thrown?
I think so. Man?
Yeah, and still barely losing. I mean, that just shows you how good Texas is. I know that sounds weird, right? You throw seven, you know, you lose a game, but just seven picks in a game and you still barely lose. For me, a game that really stands out when I really think about it and look at the standings is it's got to be this Florida-Georgia game. You know, Florida lost early in the season and was kind of written off. And now they've ripped off a bunch of wins. They're 7-1 with one of the hardest, if not the hardest, schedule in the entire league. And hats go off to them how, you know, one loss used to kill you back in the day. And it doesn't anymore. So, you know, kudos to Mike.
It's a great pick.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the game that for me was just the one we just had on a previous show, which was the Florida State-Miami game. ACC has a lot of craziness going on in the standings, and Sammy took care of business and took down Dealer in a real dominating way, which opened up the ACC to a lot of tiebreaker issues. So that one right there, I think, doesn't get talked about enough, but that was a great game that opened up a lot of things for a lot of different teams in the ACC, gave a lot of teams a chance.
Yeah, I was going to go with North Carolina, Florida State. If anybody watched, just really a badass game to watch. I don't think it would be a good game to play in, coach in, but it was a really good game to watch. Set up the ACC a little bit. My other one was going to be the Georgia-Florida game. Just the back and forth. And I thought Georgia was going to win. I thought Florida was going to win. And the hell, I didn't know who was going to win. And like Pat said, I mean, I had Florida, I think, ranked like 15th 2 weeks ago. I think I put in top five, top six this week in the polls. I mean, pretty impressive job by my.
This is what the NDL is about, right? Is we love sitting here having competitive coaches with competitive teams putting out competitive games to watch. And, I mean, I'd be dumb not to talk about Georgia-Florida. Both powerhouse matchups that I think both could end up in the CFP if the cards fall right. ACC is a conference to look at, too, man. I don't know who the hell is going to come out of that right now in the terms of, like, shaking up the rest of the division outside of the top, but... Man, I mean, I'm looking forward to see what we got this week and what's all on this block.
Yeah, one of the games that really caught my eye last week, and I know Sammy has talked about it. If you guys don't tune into Sammy's media show, The Outliers, it's a great show to learn about Power Fives and the kind of the stuff that goes on there with him and Vic. But was the Charlotte's upset over Tulane? I mean, if you call it an upset, Charlotte's had a pretty good season, but I think that really shook out Tulane's chances of making the college football playoff, but that was a very big win this last week, and it was a great game as well. And so I thought that was a pretty big win when it comes to kind of weeding out some of these Why is he telling me to stop talking?
Dude, you sound horrible right now. I love you, but whatever's really? Coming out right.
Sound like a robot.
Yeah, dude, it's really bad.
Man, weird. I haven't done anything different.
Well, maybe it's time.
Well, you guys keep talking then.
You jinxed it by saying we haven't had sound issues in a while before the show. Segue into the college football playoff here, but Tim is also in charge of that. So, Tim, if you can hear me.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yes. Better. Ten times.
He's returned.
Just unplugged the mic and plugged it back in. Real quick again, then I'll just talk about it if you didn't hear it. The Charlotte's win over Tulane was one of the biggest wins for the power, you know, kind of shaking out that playoff picture for some of those Power 5 teams. And so I thought that was a big win that just occurred, I think, on like Wednesday or Tuesday. Last week, and I thought that was a pretty big upset win for Charlotte, putting themselves in the driver's seat now, maybe in that AAC.
That guy's good.
Game. Yep. Very good. Player. I crashed my car. I mean, his loss at the beginning of the year, Middle Tennessee State, and then he's got a loss to Missouri, which, I mean, he still scored 31 points against Missouri. And then he obviously
gave Utah all they could handle in the cup, if I remember correctly.
I mean, yeah. Yep, he did. He lost. Let me see here. Yeah, he lost by a touchdown. So,
yeah, and he was leading for a good part of it.
Yeah, and so that AAC, I know if you guys don't listen to the Outliers podcast with Sammy and Vic, they talk a lot about it. That AAC is becoming to be quite the it's going to be quite the race down the stretch here with 3, 4, 5 teams undefeated in the conference. And then you have Charlotte, Tulsa, Florida Atlantic, and South Florida, which obviously Florida and South Florida are trying to make a bid for that college football playoff, being that Power Five. I don't know if they can jump chip, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Anybody else have any games or anything like that, or any moments or anything that really have stood out this season so far? I know you guys are just excited for this college football playoff reveal.
Very much so.
Okay, so we'll get right to it. I know that's why everybody's tuning in early this morning on Saturday. And so bear with us. I am going to put out a statement here. It's not from me. This is from Six, who is the chairman of the College Football Playoff Committee. He's come out with a statement, and I will put it up on the screen here for you. So before we reveal, he did want to talk about, he just wanted to talk about, this is kind of what they debated and everything, all the games, and I'll let you guys read it if you want, but all the games that they used for this college football playoff were games that were played up to 10 o'clock last night when they met. And so they used all the games prior to that. Now I could probably look here. At the time, yeah, it was 10:05 p.m. Doesn't tell me Eastern what. I'm assuming it's Eastern. And so they probably missed the Oklahoma game last night. But that's a little statement that he had put out for the college football playoff. I know they put a lot of work into it. Pat, you've been on it. Is that correct?
Yeah, last season. It's fun.
Yeah, and I mean, how was the first meeting? Would you say that the first meeting is a lot different than the last meeting that you guys have?
Not really. I've said it before. It was really easy last year. We really didn't have a lot of tough decisions throughout, I felt like. Like, there was no really real back and forth because it was pretty straightforward, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
Yeah, you had 10, 11 teams that were always in it, and then you had the that group of five, right? That was going to be the debate, and there, I'll be honest with you, being in the room, there wasn't a huge debate on it. There was a small pushback on who should be in there, but it was pretty cut and dry.
So we'll just start with the bottom all the way to the top. Is that, that's probably going to be the easiest thing to do. I mean, we probably know a majority of the, 8 to 10 are interchangeable probably with that, 5 to whatever. But obviously these are some of the teams that are left out. And obviously there's going to be a lot of debate. We can debate it after. I'll just show the rankings here. So obviously the team that comes in at this has got to be, okay, so this is 16. This has got to be from a previous year, right? Homie sent this to me, so it's homie's fault.
Kentucky sitting at 0-5 with no owner at 16. Yeah, right. Huge shock to the college football playoff world.
Fake news. Fake
14
news.
Look right, at least.
At first, yeah. I was like, damn, dude, I didn't know Louisiana was balling like that this year.
Here, give me a. I'm just going to put up the image, and then we'll talk about the teams that are in and out. Give me a second here. Pat, you're the only one on here that's been on the committee. Is that correct?
I don't remember every name that was on the first one. So was Penguin?
Nope. I have not been on one of them.
Oh, Phony is in the chat. He was in one last year, but he's obviously not here today.
Forgetting it. Phony's, homie's already on top of it right now. I think that was like week 15 last year, potentially.
Dude, that right there was from like two seasons ago.
It may have been.
Yeah.
There because we go. This makes more sense.
Louisiana wasn't anything that would have been in the playoffs.
17th team. Obviously, these are the teams that are just out. Is Central Michigan with Coach Fired Up Chip. At 16, they have Colorado, Coach Andy out there in the Buffs. And then you have that dude, Oklahoma, sitting at 3-1 at number 15. Texas Tech at 14. Tennessee at 13. Sitting at 5-2. And then the number 12 team, first team in, Florida State at 7-2. LSU Tigers at number 11, sitting at 4-1. Notre Dame at number 10. Georgia at number 9. Oregon at number 8. Utah at number 7. Missouri at number 6. Florida at number 5. Texas at 4. Alabama at 3, Clemson at 2, and Ole Miss at 1. Now, remember, these are only the rankings, so these aren't their seedings into the playoffs. These are the rankings and how the College Football Playoff Committee ranked these teams. Throughout the season, obviously, there's going to be a lot of debate and questions that people may have. And so I will throw up the logo here that shows the actual matchups for the games. I've already getting stuff in the chat talking about SEC bias and everything like that. So that's good stuff. Man, what are your guys' quick reactions just to the top, you know, the top 17 that they put out?
I'll jump in and say, I'm pleasantly surprised to see a team like Florida State in there. You know, granted, they got two losses and are probably out of the conference title mix, but you know, they've got strength and some really good losses, and I mean some really good wins, excuse me. I threw up my mouth a little as I said that accidentally. And obviously you're, you know, SEC heavy beyond that, but that's to be expected. I'm very curious to see how many of those teams knock each other out in the coming weeks to open up the room for, you know, your Texas Tech, Colorado to work their way into this mix.
So, obviously, they did a great job here. I think everyone in there is very deserving at this time. And the seeding, maybe I don't completely agree with, but that, you know, there's more weeks to be played. That's going to flip around all the time. But I have a scenario. I've never thought about this. Let's say something strange happens and say me or Boston College or Holmy win the ACC just out of nowhere. Would they actually take a team that didn't even go to the conference championship game over the actual champ as an at-large? Like, because does that make sense what I'm saying? Or they have to take the ACC. Do they have to take the ACC champ regardless? Like, I'm just trying to get a scenario where Clemson doesn't win it.
I don't think
can't they can. Be left out? Like,
yeah, what you're saying. I mean, I understand it. Like, but I mean, there's not a world, right? There's not a world where you don't take the conference champion.
Yeah, like, I don't know what.
And here's the thing, though, is like the thing to think about is right now for face value, you have a lot of mid-majors that have you have several mid-majors with the potential to finish undefeated. Are you going to take a three or four loss team in a power conference over an undefeated team? Like that would be the big, I think that's the biggest question, right, Pat, is that like if you don't take, I mean, if you take that conference champ, you'd have to take Clemson.
Well, I'm just thinking like this, like Florida State, I don't think unless something really weird happens can make the ACC championship game, but yet they still play Notre Dame and Florida. Like, so if they beat those two teams, but they don't make their own conference championship game. Like, I kind of think if they finish 10-2 and beat those two teams, they belong in the playoff. So absolutely, it's a weird situation.
See, but at that rate, if they were to knock off Notre Dame, wouldn't it Notre Dame fall out and they'd practically be flipping with them? Or am I crazy for saying right. that?
Yeah, it's just weird that he could end up 10-2, not play in his conference championship game, not even be invited because he has two conference losses, but still make the playoff.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame is a likely casualty in that scenario.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's the Notre Dame's got playoff games, you know, the rest of the year, like from today forward. Like every game they play is a playoff game.
Yeah, and I think, Pat, the biggest argument, like, I think you could actually use a better conference than that. You could use the Big 12, or I mean the Big 10. If Oregon ends up tripping up and loses at some point, would you take maybe a 2 or a 3-loss team that wins that conference and then leave Oregon out? I know you're big on Oregon, not their conference schedule. I mean, their non-conference and conference schedule doesn't look good right now. But would you leave Oregon out if a 2 or a 3, you know, if they only finish with 1 loss, lose maybe in the championship game to a 3-loss team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're in playoff games now, in my opinion, just because the schedule. And the committee's doing a good job here with these releases, which is nice. Six always made it clear, and I hope everyone hears this in the league. You go off of just that season. I know that Shell is a phenomenal player. He always has been, always will be. But you just go off of this season's resume. You have to. That's the hardest thing about being on that committee, is not thinking about past results.
And I gotta agree. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna post up the bracket here for season 32. This is just the first release. Okay. Obviously, this is them assuming that certain teams are winning the conference based upon where they're at now. Obviously, with the 4 highest seeded conference champions at 1 through 4 with that bye. And so you kind of see it sitting right here, where Ole Miss has the number 1 seed. And then you got Oregon at the 4 seed, Utah at the 3 seed, and Clemson at the 2 seed, all receiving byes. As you can see from the bracket here, your first team out is Tennessee. Second team out, Texas Tech. Third team out is Oklahoma. Now, these are based on results from 10.05 p.m. Central Time. I got clarification. It's Central Time as of last night. So any game played after that wouldn't have counted towards the committee's view in what their voting was. And so as you can tell right now that Notre Dame is independent, they take that 10 seed, and then Central Michigan takes that automatic bid from the Power Fives, facing off against Alabama at the number 5 seed. What are your guys' reactions to this? Do you think they swung and missed completely on any of these teams?
I'll start. I haven't said much. No, I like the way it looks. I think I'll go with Pat on this. If Oregon loses, Big Ten's not getting anybody. I think the ACC is stronger. I think there's other stronger conferences. If Shell loses with Oregon, Pat, you said exactly what needed to be said. It is not former seasons or who the owner is. It's the current season. And as much as I love Shell, his schedule's weak. And if he gets bounced, I don't see a Big Ten team getting in. And maybe I'm wrong, but I like seeing Central Michigan in again against Alabama. My man Chip, Dr. Butt. I could surprise some people, but I like what they did. I respect what the committee did on this one in this first go-around.
I'm going to have to just slightly disagree with that there. I think that there is definitely a chance of the Big Ten getting left out. But if you give me, I'm going to take USC or Iowa winning out the rest of the way, I think you've got to put one of them in if they go in. That'd be a 1-loss USC team if they beat Notre Dame. And Iowa, even with 3 losses, I think that that streak to end the season and that they've got wins there over knocking off what we've established as a good Northwestern. And one of those losses is Texas and then 2 other close ones. I think you've got to consider them still, even with 3 losses.
Does anybody feel like Tennessee should be in for real?
No.
So I was, I don't know that they'd be in, but when I looked at the rankings originally, man, I just, it's hard for me not to put in an SEC team over like Colorado. Like just in the rankings, I'm saying, and Tennessee is above them. Now Florida State, they ranked Florida State FSU at number 12. And they, and their comments are there were very good wins against Miami and UNC and a quality loss, which we can get to that in a second against Clemson. There's no, to me, there's no such thing as a quality loss.
Right.
But they, I think they swung and missed with Florida State, and no offense to you, Sammy, but Sammy lost to Georgia Tech. They're 3-4. Tennessee right. has two losses, and they're both the teams that are in the college football playoff.
And so, that's what
I don't know how you leave them out. I don't know how you have Florida State in over Texas Tech. I don't know how you have. I mean, Oklahoma shouldn't have been ranked up that high because of games played. But I mean, I FSU should have probably not even been in the top 20 with two losses, and one of their losses is to a team under 500. It blows my mind. That part blows my. I think they nailed the other ones. I think you can make arguments for the other ones, but there's FSU. You cannot give me a very valid argument as to why you would even put them in the college football playoff. Like, that blows my mind.
Who did Notre Dame lose?
Hey, let me start this. Hey, where should Washington State be? I was surprised an undefeated Washington State team didn't get any mention.
Yeah, I mean, their schedule, their strength of, I mean, this is me, I'm the coach. Their strength of schedule is pretty bad. But a lot of some of the other teams that are in there, their strength of schedules aren't that great. And so I think it'll just, for Washington State to even have a chance at the college football playoff, other things would have to play into factor. I need Notre Dame to probably lose so that there is kind of an independent spot. And then obviously some of those SEC teams are going to lose because they play each other.
Tim, so, are you going to claim a national championship if you go 12-0 and don't get invited? 100%,
100%.
I think that's what most people are wondering.
Yeah, we've already been in discussion with the athletic director and the Pac-12 commissioner, who is our athletic director, and so that'll definitely take place.
Man, so if I could piggy in here for a second, because I've just kind of been sitting here listening and developing thoughts. Two people I want to shout out here, man. Mizzou, way to take care of business, man. I saw it at the beginning of the year. I saw your path. Keep playing your heart out, kid. I'm hoping you make the CFP. And fired up Chip, that is my guy, man. I love seeing him be up here on this list. And so two things that I'll piggy on here, the main ones, is in the Big Ten, me personally, as much as I would love a consideration if I knock off Oregon, appreciate the Iowa love, fellas. Man, if Oregon loses, I see Oregon falling out of the top 12. And I Iowa might make a 12 seed, but there are some pretty deserving resumes on here, and I won't be oblivious to it. And then on the flip side of the token here, man, I mean, there's a lot of games left with how many SEC teams there are, like right on the cusp or right in this thing. I mean, this first bracket could get blown up. I mean, let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 SEC teams in there, and then I think, what, two were in the top 16? Two more were in the top 16, 17? I mean, this thing could get turned upside down, and this would be nowhere close. So, I mean, I'm excited to see how the rest of the season pops up.
That's a great, exciting point there, for sure, and it's part of the reason why you have the committee. You know, we got this initial dialogue to talk about, but, I mean, man, there's a lot still to come. But I got to turn around a second and come back to something Tim said. Tim and I agreed with this statement here, saying there's no such thing as a quality loss. But then in you campaigning for Tennessee, you campaigned exclusively on the strength of their quality losses to Florida and Alabama. Let's talk about wins for a moment there, if we're talking Tennessee versus Florida State. Show me, who has Tennessee beaten? They've got a win over Kansas State and Oklahoma and Boise State. Those are good teams they beat. No rankings in sight in that list. None. Whereas Florida State just beat Miami. Not saying Florida State's got, you know, the strongest ranked winning resume, but to say Tennessee should be over Florida State based off who they played, I mean, that just makes my head hurt a bit there, friend.
Good point. Good point.
And you have, I mean, even in Texas Tech, if we want to bring them up, they lost to a Baylor team that's not even, you know what I mean? They're not even, I don't know that they're even ranked in the top 25.
Yeah, Texas Tech and Colorado are both in the similar boat there. They're both close, but I mean, neither of those losses are pretty. Yep. The good part is they'll both have a chance to redeem themselves soon.
Yeah, the Tennessee-Georgia game, obviously we'll talk about that in a little bit, is a huge matchup because that'll take care of itself, right? A lot of these SEC teams play each other still in the regular season, so you'll see some of them dropping in and out. But I'm with you. The FSU one is a swing and miss, but I don't think that you probably, I mean, not, you bring it up, Penguin, I think that you would probably, I don't know. I mean, I just don't think FSU's in right now with their, that loss at Georgia Tech is a big loss, and you have other teams that haven't lost at all that are beating teams like Georgia Tech. And so I think you really, for face value,
you could,
to put
those, you could argue in, that they're not in, but you can't, you can't convince me that Tennessee is the team that takes their spot.
I would pick Tennessee over FSU if those were my only two options.
Also, at the point, if we're picking this, because we know for a fact, Tennessee, if we're picking teams right now.
So that, as of this voting, Tennessee was the only team as of this voting that had beat Oklahoma. Oklahoma has the best win in, on face value, has the best win in the league right now against Texas.
No. Ole Miss has the best win. Ole Miss has the best win.
Let's not get carried away.
All right,
Smitty's always lurking, dude. He's always in the weeds.
One last point I got to make on this tier. Technically, FSU isn't in at the moment because that 12 is kind of false because Central Michigan would take that spot if this was final today.
Yep.
And get an impact over them. So they're actually in, but not in, technically.
Who did Notre Dame? Georgia?
What's that?
Who did Notre Dame? Yeah, Notre Dame lost to. And yeah, that was that week one matchup against Georgia. I think it was at Georgia, too. I think.
No, is that another one of those Notre Dame? Quality losses, I think they.
Yeah, quality loss. Yeah,
they said the notes that we got were the best loss out of the group that is left.
Oh, look, I got throat stomped by the number 3 seed in the NDL. Oh, man, it's a quality loss. Yeah, all right, man.
I like that.
I mean, I hate to say it, man, but it's true, dude. Like, because, I mean, granted, that's why we have a committee for it, and that's why we have grown men with unbiased opinions to figure this out for us so we can talk shit on, you know, on NDL game day. But, man, like, at the end of the day, a loss is a loss, man. And any loss that you're going to take is going to hurt one way or another and your standing on this. Like, do I think Tennessee should be in? Absolutely not. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, Florida State, man, I hope they get the nod because I know there's a lot of teams up here with some competitive games left. And, you know, they've played their ass off all year. But, man, I mean, everybody's open to their own opinion on this. You can value one thing more than another, or you can make the case of, well, he scheduled a harder out of conference or had a harder teams to play. But at the end of the day, if you drop to 2 losses, 3 losses, 4 losses, I mean, it's a dogfight, man. You got to have a miracle happen to maybe get your name thrown in there. Is at the end of the day is what it is.
Now, there's lots of football left. It's going to be really interesting how some of this playoff kind of shakes out. Obviously, Smitty in the driving seat for that number 1 seed, which he kind of basks in that spotlight. So, Smitty, how do you feel?
I feel terrible. Probably should have got beat to Oklahoma last year. I'm being honest with y'all. So, I'm going to lose, I'm sure. I'll probably lose 2 games, but at this point, I feel like if I win 2 games, playoffs. So I'm sitting pretty, really.
Fair point.
Of everybody on this list, I would say you're the most secure to me because, like, you said it yourself right there, man. You have the luxury of going 2-2 to end your year and make the college football playoff. And I don't think you're going to lose 2.
Right. I've got. I could. I got Georgia next. I think we're playing today.
Nope.
And then I think I got Florida. I think I got Georgia and Florida, so, like, I could easily lose those two. I doubt it, but I could easily lose those two.
No, you're not. I mean, I'm just sitting here looking at the rest of it, man. I think.
Guys, is this – I got to jump in here really quick. I was thinking about this. Is this the most competitive season that we've had? as far as all of what's going on right here. I mean, this top even 17 is just nasty.
Oh, it's far more competitive than last year, man. Because like I feel like even last year you knew who the top 11 seeds were. Maybe 10, but you can argue you knew the top 10. And the first one out was between what, only two or three other teams? I mean, in this, we're talking about genuinely 1 through 18. Wow. Well, you can't say 1, but 2 through 18 of where people belong at and where they should seed at.
I think it is since the game's been released. It's really hard to go back and look at, in the past. But I do believe so. And the reason being is I think that a lot of the coaches that were competing for the national championship are all in the same conference.
Agreed.
That's why I would say it is the most competitive. But it's also just kind of worked out, Pat, this year, that a lot of the other conferences just kind of blossom into being very competitive, whether it's because they have the same level of play at the top or what. But all the other conferences, we have some great races in almost every single conference. Is going to come down to the very end of the season to who wins it, whether it's a Sun Belt or even the Mountain West, which is down this year. But I still think that all those guys in the Mountain West are all around the same level. And so it's really up in the air who's going to win that conference. And I think you could say the same for almost every single conference. There's not a clear-cut favorite to win a conference right now. I think it's really exciting.
Is this the top 25 now that's in the graphic of
correct.
The league?
So this is the top 25 that was posted today. I don't have an image for the media poll, but I can read it off to you really quick. So the media poll has Ole Miss at 1, Clemson at 2, Alabama at 3, Utah at 4, Oregon 5, LSU 6, Texas 7, Florida 8, Missouri 9, and Georgia 10. Notre Dame's right outside of that top 10. Then you have Texas Tech 12, Washington State 13, Colorado 14, Central Michigan 15, and then so on.
I don't understand how we're ranking Tennessee behind Northwest. Like, that's not even – I don't get that.
I agree with Sandy 1,000%.
I don't get how – I honestly don't understand how he's ranking USC. I don't understand how he's ranking Texas Tech. Or Colorado, and I'm a Colorado.
What has Tennessee done to deserve to be ranked higher this season?
Oh, come on.
What has he done? Hey, we're measuring this stuff, as we've said many times, based on what's happened this season.
Well, it is crazy that Oklahoma's not ranked in the top 25 when most people probably voted after
him. That's a games played thing. He had three games played.
I didn't even look at him because he was only two of them, even though he had a good.
Look, as much as we had the steam gate go on, and that was unfortunate that it kind of got off track. You got to play games, or else people aren't going to rank you. You know, so that's just one of those things.
And that's remember LSU that's affected LSU at the beginning of the season. They lost their number one ranking because they didn't play games, not because they lost. They fell out of the number one spot in the both polls before they had lost the game because he wasn't playing games.
Going like who is USC beat? Who is Northwestern? I'm asking.
Let me pull that up. I'm not saying they're necessarily the teams I'd put in front of them.
Good, I wouldn't pull it up.
The best part Colorado. Is that
you're also comparing one loss to two loss.
Yeah, this week Tennessee and Georgia do play each other, and so whatever team loses, how far do they drop? Georgia and Tennessee are going to play each other. How far do they drop in the – does a loser fall out of the 25?
I mean, I think if Georgia has three losses, they're going to be behind 15.
I was about to say, I'll say it. Georgia gets three losses, they're cooked, man. Well,
so
I mean,
is Tennessee, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And the loser of that game is not a playoff. Yeah.
Far more Tennessee than Georgia.
Because Georgia has two way better wins. Right, I don't care about the losses right now. They both have two losses. Georgia has beat Alabama, right, and then Notre Dame, who obviously the voters vote high. They vote both those teams high. They're both in the top 10. Georgia has two very good quality wins. Tennessee for face value, Oklahoma was the only quality win, but now it's not. Is that really a big quality win now?
It's a good win, not a great win.
I'm about to say, yeah, I would say it's a like just over middle of the pack.
And so obviously that'll play out. Next week, our discussion will be, you know, hey, they're not in the top 25 anymore. And so,
And also what y'all were talking about, the Big Ten conference, I'm on the side of USC and Northwestern. Northwestern's best game, I think it was he beat Indiana by 3. But I mean, granted, I mean, it sucks you go and get thrashed by 30 to a 3-loss team. And then USC, I think he beat Nidler pretty handily, if I remember correctly. He dropped to Wisconsin. Yeah, he did drop to Wisconsin. Colorado State, Michigan, Minnesota, Maryland. I mean, Rutgers. I mean,
Mark, who do you have in the Big Ten championship game?
Oregon for sure. I like that team. I mean, forget Oregon in the game is really good. They're stacked, and you've got a good owner in Shell. And I don't know how the schedules break out, but I'm not picking against USC. Sorry, Big Red, you're a stud, bro. But like USC and Oregon, I don't even know if that's a realistic final, but that's who I would have.
Oh, well, here's your thing with USC, though. And I was crunching this out by myself the other day is we have a mutual opponent that I beat a little bit, actually pretty handedly more than him. And the last bit of my Big Ten schedule is UCLA, Maryland, and Nebraska. So, I mean, oh, yeah, buddy. So, USC losing a conference game.
I'm cheering for Big Red to win the whole conference and win the championship only because it'll throw a big old monkey wrench in the Oregon to the college football playoff.
No, that stream when that game is played is going to be loaded from everybody that's sitting in the 13 seed to the 18 seed.
I saw Pat ordered
coming out of the college football playoff and somebody's coming in. Because I don't
a bunch
care.
Of Iowa gear, and he's going to cheer on the Iowa Buckeyes.
Literally. Is that like a travel team?
Man.
But I think Big Red is very Switzer of the NDL. I'm starting to love this dude. I love it, Big Red.
Don't get me wrong. I love bowling with the fucking rest of them, and I love the college football playoff. But guess what, Oregon, Shell, I don't care if I make it. I don't care if I go in as the 12 seed Big Ten championship or if I'm the 13 and I play in the Geico Ice Cream Nebraska Bowl. All right, I'm coming to ruin your season. That's all I care about. I'm caring about whoever the 13, 14 seed Cinderella is to come get in the college football playoff. That's what I'm playing for. So you can pick USC. You can pick the California boys, but we do things a little different in Iowa, and we go for championships, baby. That's what we play for here.
Wow. Smitty, are you hearing this guy? You got to go play D-Kane right after this game, or right after this show.
I'm going to carry the boat.
Wow.
I've got some. I'm like fucking weed eating.
I'm on my balcony right now. Okay, on my second story. I'm outside. It's a beautiful day, and I'm ready to jump from the second story down to the first to go for a run after this.
I get crazy. I don't know if I'm ready for a goddamn run, but I mean, I'm ready to play a video game.
When are you and DK playing?
I don't know. I think I read his message.
What a surprise. What a surprise. I read it wrong from Smitty.
Watch it, Pat. Watch it, man. I am game whenever he's game. How about that?
Ooh.
Where's DK now?
He's in the audience.
Hey, DK, and when are you guys playing? Right after the game?
Of course, man.
Right
of course.
The show?
You need DK the most. When you need DK the most, he's nowhere to be.
That way the Peanut Gallery can tune in and we can chime in about how bad you guys suck. And
DK's here.
Come on. Two?
Talking about Diet Pepsis.
Man,
on that chat. We're going to jump right into the next topic here since we're talking about Ole Miss and Georgia. We're going to talk about the SEC matchups. Super biased show today. This is also considered a part of my content for the SEC conference.
So you're getting points for this?
The double points here. Big SEC matchup here. We haven't talked a lot about the SEC conference in general. We've kind of been spreading the love out to the other conferences throughout the previous shows. Obviously, today, as you can tell, this is just all SEC. And so we'll jump right into I'm going to skip the Ole Miss versus Georgia game for now. We'll come back to it if we can get DK to commit on a time here. But we got there's a lot of good matchups that are coming up this week in this block. Notably like LSU, Alabama play, Florida versus LSU, Georgia versus Tennessee, which we talked about and we all agree, I think, is that whatever team loses that game is out of the discussion for the college football playoff, as well as I do believe the conference championship. And so what are some of the matchups you guys are looking forward to, and who do you guys think is eventually going to come out as the 1 and 2 out of the conference?
The 1 and 2 out of the SEC? Man, yeah. That is a tough one. I mean, I'm going to start with the easy pick. I think Ole Miss gets into the conference title game. And the team that I think that they will face off that'll be there, I'm going to go and say I believe it's Alabama. I think Alabama, they granted that Missouri game wasn't necessarily pretty, but they did get the win. And I like them versus LSU and Oklahoma in the coming weeks. I think they get in there with one loss, and I think you get a fantastic matchup of Titans and a nice game that you very well may see again in the playoffs.
Yeah, great choice with Alabama. That LSU game is obviously, you know, going to be, that's their right to the ship, to the championship game. So with that being said, going to go with Ole Miss versus Mizzou in the championship game.
Oh, I like it, Pat. You know what? Alabama has always been my team in that league. I like D. Kennedy. He's a stud. I think he's doing well with that group. Smitty has proven time and time again that he can get it done. He came on at BB&B and got things done. But it's hard to root against Big Mike in Florida. He's got a history there, a track record with that team and as an owner. But I just don't see it any other way with Ole Miss and Alabama. Those are my top two.
I'm going to throw a curveball, man. I'm going to throw a curveball. Take myself out of it. I'm going to take the Ole Miss Rebels out of it. They're going to choke in the last two games. Georgia and Florida, and you know, but it's been said multiple times, you know, there's tiers to this. I think it's going to be Texas and LSU again, and whoever wins that will probably win the championship. And they're just, I don't see anybody being able to beat those two guys.
I used to respect coach speak, but this is just out of control.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna be honest with you. There's not a world where you can not say yourself right now, and I appreciate you for being modest. You've never been one to show your ass, but Ole Miss is playing in the SEC championship, so that's a for sure lock.
Yeah.
I got to quote Buddy the Elf and say, "You sit on a throne of lies."
Yeah, no, I mean literally, man. And you know, and looking at the rest of the schedule, when you go and dissect what blocks you got left, I remember, man, I was one advocating for Mizzou in week zero, and everybody calling me crazy, saying to this point, man, I don't think it'll be Mizzou. Funny enough, I hate to say jiggy this, jiggy that, but Texas has got a really forgiving schedule to end the SEC, man. I mean, they got A&M in that last week. I believe they got Florida in this block. I think they take care of Big Mike pretty handedly. And I think they go on a run and finish the season, finish it out. But I mean, between what you have left, I think Ole Miss takes care of Florida for you too. And then I think in that bunch, it's going to come down to between Alabama and I think Mizzou finds a way to drop one game to who was I seeing earlier? They find a way to drop a game to Oklahoma.
And let me say this here now: Mizzou, Arkansas. That's going to be a hell of a game. One there, they're going to watch out there,
dude. I mean, like, there's hell of a game, and that's the thing is talking about the SEC is granted, it doesn't matter what coach has a win total, a 2-4, 3-3, this, that, another. I mean, they're competitive coaches. They had to get in the SEC somehow. And I mean, when you have a talented roster, anything could happen. So, but I think it's going to be Ole Miss, Texas. I got Ole Miss coming out of it, and I got Ole Miss being the one seed in the NDL.
So trivia time. Okay. Here's a trivia time. You guys tell me what matchup this is. This is what I think is probably one of the biggest matchups this next block in the SEC to decide who's going to play in the conference championship. Okay? November 1940, a genuine Indian peace pipe was donated by Dr. John S. Knight of Kansas City to become the traveling trophy of this rivalry. The peace pipe, in the form of a tomahawk, belonged to Chief White Eagle of the Pawnee tribe. The peace pipes believed to be over 100 years old. These two teams first started playing each other in 1902.
I think I got it. I think it's North Texas versus Vanderbilt.
Wrong. It's a matchup in the SEC.
Boy, I usually know a lot about peace pipes, but this one's got me.
So this is actually called the Tiger Sooner Peace Pipe Award. Okay, it's awarded to whatever team wins out of Missouri and Oklahoma. I've actually been to this matchup. It's the only SEC football game I've ever watched.
It's electric,
and it was in Missouri. Adrian Peterson was running from Oklahoma. He jumped in the end zone to celebrate, and he dislocated his shoulder or whatever. It was hilarious. I think whoever wins this game, this is coming up in this next block, the Missouri-Oklahoma. If Missouri wins this, they're in the driver's seat to represent, be one of the representatives in the SEC. Mainly their schedule's been very favorable. They played very well. But they would be the ones that would represent, I would believe that they would represent the SEC, and probably Ole Miss would be the other two teams. Those would be my two teams, mainly because of some of the other schedules that go to play. I'd have to look at the SEC tiebreaker. We did it last year. And it definitely could potentially come to that, because I think there will be multiple teams with the same amount of losses for that number two seed.
Can you, where would you guys put Texas if the College Football Rules Committee had suspended players properly? If both quarterbacks were out, where would you guys put them? Would you still think that they would have a chance, or would you rule them out completely?
So their next games are against Florida and Arkansas, just so everybody knows. Yeah. That's who
I'm sure their water boys five star. All right. I mean, they've got, I mean, right. They're the depth on their roster is just, I still think it's handedly enough to go win games personally.
Yeah. I think going into Florida with your third string quarterback is going to cause a lot of problems.
Yeah.
I think you probably lose that game against Florida in the swamp against Big Mike.
We'll never know.
Best part is not only they've actually upgraded, now he's going to go in the swamp and have a player that the home field advantage doesn't even affect. So,
actually better now. Yeah.
Yeah. So really job well done by the rules committee for sure.
Right. Someone told me that Jiggy was going to do the right thing and he was going to play the third stringer anyways. That's what someone told me.
That would be the right thing to do. That would be the NDL way.
Jiggy says,
What is that?
Hey, we healed last night or two nights ago. Sorry. We healed.
Y'all might have healed. I didn't heal shit.
Mark, we healed.
It was a healing, a night of healing. And I'm sorry, Smitty, that you didn't heal. We'll do better next time.
That's fine. Let's just get off text.
Yeah, Big Mike says he doesn't want any suspensions. He wants it all, man. That's going to be another great matchup. One of the ones that we have on here is Florida and Texas, as well as LSU, Alabama. A lot is at stake. Most of these SEC games are all playoff games. Who do you guys have, in the LSU, Alabama game? Who's going to separate themselves in the SEC there?
I'll start. I think Alabama is going to beat him. I've said it. I honestly thought Alabama was on the table, and then he lost. He's had a close game with Missouri, but I think he's going to beat LSU. I think he's the better player, better coach too.
I want you to kind of echo that there. I think that one thing to note, that Alabama is only getting better, because this is his first season with this team. So I don't even think you've seen the best version of Alabama you'll see this season yet.
Oh, I'll jump in just because you took the words right out of my mouth, man. I mean, Alabama, man, is A, is a talented roster, but B, man, I mean, just like looking at him as a coach, I mean, he puts out a phenomenal product week in and week out. And, man, I don't know what they do out there at practices in Tuscaloosa, but, I mean, man, I think he's going to run it for the next foreseeable future, I guess, for the rest of the year.
I mean, ultimately, there's the potential that some of these SEC matchup games like LSU-Alabama, I mean, I would still probably take a two-loss Alabama team over a lot of teams for the college football playoff. But a two-loss team here, like LSU still has Alabama, Florida, and Oklahoma left on their schedule, to whereas like Alabama has LSU and Oklahoma, and we're talking about two quality opponents left. And so there's the potential where you lose this second loss and then you're fighting for your life to try to make it back into that college football playoff, which would be kind of crazy to see like a team like LSU and Bucknut not make the college football playoff.
Go ahead. No, Matt. I was just gonna jump in and say that's probably got to be the game of the year, right? As far as Alabama, LSU, so much riding on it. A great rivalry in the last 10 to 15 years in college football because they're so talented. And, you know, I hate to say it, I just think LSU wins that game. I think maybe had an off night against Smitty. Smitty had a great game plan, and coaching wins in football more than even the players. Obviously the Jimmies and the Joes are important, but the X's and O's are even more important. And Smitty had a great game plan. If Alabama plays how he did against Missouri the other night, he's not going to beat LSU.
Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely the LSU-Alabama rivalry in college football is probably the best non-rivalry, right? I don't think they have a named rivalry yet, but over the course of the last 10, 15 years, it's given us some great quality football, and I think we're going to see it again this year in the NDL. Let's move on to the games of the week. Unless anyone else has anything else to talk about in the SEC, we definitely can spend more time on the SEC. Come on, Smitty.
There ain't
no
state, man. Y'all know how I feel.
Long live the SEC, right, Smitty? He thinks that it should just be that should we just take the top 12 teams from the SEC and put them in the college football playoff and then roll?
No, I definitely don't, because I ain't gonna be in there longer. So I hope it ain't like that.
Smitty's coming back to the MAC. He told Fired Up Chip that he's gonna join the MAC next season.
Notice Smitty in the chat really quick, Tim, not to jump in. He'll always say, I'll see you there. And it's every conference in the live chat. Like, this guy is clown sometimes. Yeah. He's like, oh, he'll like put great idea. Can't wait to join. And it'll be a weird conference.
I think at this point, I've got like 8 teams that I'm looking at. And maybe an SEC team. Hell, who knows?
That's what's going to happen. He's going to end up in some weird-ass place that we never thought he would end up.
The Mountain West, and all the old-timers are going to just fall over out of their wheelchairs.
I wouldn't
service. Two words. Service Academy.
Yeah, right. He's been teasing us with that since he came into the league.
Oh, dude. It's been so good. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has said he's going to play in every conference.
I'm just saying, if he goes and takes a Service Academy team to the playoffs, the moment he gets in there, we need to stop that day and officially induct him into the NDL Hall of Fame.
I mean, to be fair, though, I think I've been in conference for a year. No, I was Big 12 twice. That's because the commissioner was a complete badass, by the way. Another shout out to the GOAT.
Yeah, we did have a great commissioner in the Big 12.
Thanks, the best. Buddy.
Well, it's season 4 for you. You've kind of slacked off a bit, man, but I still love you.
It's because you guys never talk in there. I post something and everyone just puts fire emojis.
Right, because I'm blocked by half the owners. Shit, I can't say nothing.
It's because all the guys just talk in the chat. And they, anyways.
Well, after the Texas Gate thing, it was like when Dad hit his mom across the kitchen.
You could
table.
Throw a needle in the SEC chat and you could hear it bounce because ain't no one talking in there now.
Super awkward.
Yeah, thanks, Jiggy.
Yeah, it was like when a couple of step parents, you know, the top getting to the bottom there. Super awkward.
Hey, well, we'll jump right into the games of the week here. Obviously, this is a really big game. We have the head coach for the Syracuse team here. They face at Cal, and you guys host Cal here, the winless team. I think you guys are 0-13 combined. But when I looked at the when I looked at your guys' schedules, though, you guys have a lot of close games, games that you guys were in. And so obviously that could have changed your win total here. And so we have Coach Mark on here. So I'm just going to go ahead and ask you point blank here, Mark, what's your game plan here against Cal?
Well, listen, you know, we lost in the final seconds on a bomb to Texas A&M. North Carolina State beat us on with 2 seconds left to go with a field goal. The boosters have asked if I could be at Syracuse for the rest of my NDL career. I have said yes. I think the NDL might say no. There's a little thing called coaching. You know, you got to make these coaching things. But listen, in the dome, Syracuse can play with anybody. On the road, it is a disaster because we have icons that are question marks all the time. Of late, my stud tight end has dropped 6 passes in the last 2 games. I don't understand what's going on there. But Cal, that coach is my buddy. It's going to be a fun game. I'm not going to be drinking. I've got to at least try to make it close. But I could see Syracuse winning by a field goal.
So I'll pick first here real quick. I think Kyle's going to have a great game for you at quarterback. I got Syracuse winning by 50.
Whoa, 50? I'll be out of the league.
Wow. I'll be out of the league.
No, you won't. Kyle will just not be able to play next week. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it won't have been done on purpose. So it'll be fine.
Suspend your backup strong safety, so you'll be fine.
Yeah. And as long as you didn't mean to.
No, but I got you winning, Mark. I think you'll end up pulling ahead here, and I think you're going to win a big one here. First win of the season. Go Syracuse.
All right.
Well, I'm going to jump right in here and say that, I mean, this is an easy choice here. The Syracuse orange, and I love oranges. So I'm thinking the literal fruit is going to be the state full of figurative fruits. Go Syracuse.
Well, I mean, Syracuse coach is my favorite guy in the league. So I'm going Syracuse, maybe by 100.
Well, since we're picking out of order, this has been good. So I'll go, since, you know, things are a little out of the ordinary, this is kind of on trend with my pick. I'm going to go with the hippies over there at Berkeley. Mark, my heart is racing right now having you on the show and making this pick. It's difficult. But I just feel like the Cal running back is going to give that. We've talked about it. That Syracuse defense, as good as you are on offense, the defense is poo poo. And yeah. Boo me all you
want.
That's fine. Yep. But I'm going to go with Cal in an absolute thriller. Maybe the best NDL game of the year. Cal with a walk off field goal.
Man, I guess that just leaves me, man. Even though Syracuse picked USC to play in the Big Ten, and you know I've got some keen words for that coach over there, man. And give me Syracuse by 101, and to suspend the entire roster.
Mark, how do you feel about this being your last season in the NDL, your last block with these rule breaks? How do you feel about it?
Guys, first off, listen, I don't even know the rules of the NDL because I'm never in a situation where I need to know the rules.
Shit, dang, for everybody else.
Listen, a lot of you guys know I just play this for fun. I literally do not care whatever happens. I do this just because it gives me something else to do, and my wife makes fun of me, and I love doing BB&B and game day. So I appreciate you guys picking me. I don't think I have much of a chance. I suck at this game, and I'm okay with saying that.
You're a great passer of the football, Mark. I wish you didn't say you suck at this game. I've played you a dozen times. You can throw the shit out of the ball.
Well, thank you, guys, but I love you. Let's move on to the next game. I'm getting a little too nervous now.
He's blushing over there.
Fair enough. That's some fantastic coaching going on over there. I love it. Well, our next game is going to be a game that was once one of the games of the century, part two, and that is Notre Dame and Florida State. And this is a matchup that's near and dear to my heart. It's a couple of coaches that I think, frankly, very highly of as not just coaches, but as individuals, and be able to chance to conversate with them both in the past. But to me, this comes down to a very simple fact, and that is that Rudy was offsides. Go Noles, Sammy by 30.
I mean, it's been clear since episode one of Game Day, and it will be clear until episode 5,000 of Game Day. I will never pick Notre Dame, but maybe every once in a while if there's some kind of competition going on. Here's the deal. Sammy, I need you to win for more than one reason, but mostly because fuck Notre Dame, FSU by 30.
Wow. That's tough to follow with that language that's being used, but I love it. Listen, I went against Sammy last time. I love that dude. He came on and talked and looked great on the show, was wearing his hat, but there's something about my dude at Notre Dame. He's probably been prepping analytically for this game for 2 weeks. I'm going Notre Dame, and I'm going Notre Dame by 7.
Analytically, he's been prepping it. He's been worried about rules and messed that up. He messed the game up. I got Florida State. Dear God, Sammy, please do it for the league. Beat him by 37, and we'll love you forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And take a safety and then lose by 37.
Hell yeah.
Man, Sammy, I see you sitting in that audience with that purple diamond, spending $5 on Discord Nitro and, you know, all that good jazz. I see you in there, man. That speech I said earlier, my season is for a team like you. Two losses and the outside looking in and just a little bit of hope and prayer to get you there. All right. Take them down, go win by 35, and go play for a college football playoff. Give me Sammy. Give me FSU by a billion.
Yeah, this one's an interesting matchup, but this game on paper, I really wanted to take Notre Dame just for face value looking at it on paper and stuff. The problem was when I really started, I actually looked at a couple of their games. I've watched a couple of their games. And I think Florida State is gaining momentum now. He's learning how to play at this team. Sammy is, I think he's figuring it out. He's starting to run the ball really well. He's lowering his turnover amount with DJ. And I think that's going to be the difference. He's going to get Lawrence and Jalen going the two-head rushing attack there in Florida State, and he's going to get it going against Rain. And I think this is a loser out for Rain. Rain was going to lose this game. He's going to kind of drop out of that college football playoff mention. And then obviously Florida State playing for they're just trying to play to get into the college football playoffs. So I got FSU by a couple scores here.
All right. I guess I'm the only one that picked Notre Dame. Huh?
The next game we have is it's going to be Texas traveling to the swamp to play the Florida Gators. Quinn Ewers gets his first start of the season. Normally in real football, this would probably be something that would be a big deal because the guy has had no regular season reps. But in the digital football world, got to go here with the better quarterback than the one he's been starting on the road in the swamp. Not going to rattle him because of a little badge that's next to his name. So give me Texas by 14.
Texas. Okay. All right. Florida, Texas. This is a tough one. But I will stay consistent. I've always been a big Mike believer. I just looked at something. Fellas, he's won 400 games in the NDL. And he's only lost 86.
That's 486. Incredible. That's crazy.
I could play in the NDL for 50 more years and I won't see 400 wins. I've got Florida. Florida by 6. I think it's going to be 2 field goals. Big Mike's going to get it done. But, hey, no disrespect to Jiggy and Texas. That's a great team. But 400 wins in the NDL is something that I just cannot look past.
Can't even wrap my mind around that.
Nope. Not me either.
Well, I think everybody knows who I'm going to pick here. So I'll just go ahead and say it. I hate Florida. As a Tennessee fan, I hate them. Would never pick against them. But I'm picking them. Give me Lagway for 500 total yards. Ewers, Shewers, whatever the hell his name is, going to get sacked 15 times, 7 fumbles, and the Gators fuck everybody up.
Man, in the words of Shannon Sharp, man, you know, the Blues barbecue, man, he doesn't have a clue. Give me Jiggy by 100.
Jiggy by 100. Man, at the end of this season, we won't have any players left. Man, I love Big Mike. I love Jiggy both. They're both great fans of the Endale Game Day Show. We've had them both on the show before. And, man, I really, really wanted to pick Texas here. Just because I think they have so much talent on that offensive side of the ball. But, man, I'm going to go with Big Mike here. Biggest reason why is I think that home field advantage is going to play a little bit, as well as starting a new quarterback and maybe doing some things that you normally didn't do. I know he's a better overall rated quarterback in the video game, but Jiggy did some things probably that Ewers can't do with Manning. And so I think that Big Mike is going to squeak out a win here, and it's going to be close. It may even go to overtime.
Nice. Well, go, Penguin. Yeah.
Thank you. Forgotten about again. So, jumping right in here. It's definitely going to be a huge matchup, you know, between these two offenses and coaches that have won tons and tons of games. Quarterbacks are obviously going to be the central focus. And while we're all thinking about what Texas, the players they're missing and Ewers playing, I think it's going to come down to the Florida quarterback mostly. And he's going to have that home crowd at his back. He's going to have an absolutely huge day. And for that reason, Texas will win by less than 35 this time.
Nice. Now I think I'm up. Penguin, my apologies, bro. I apologize.
No worries.
It's been cool to talk about all these phenomenal games and the SEC and all this stuff. But the game that we need to talk about is North Texas at Army. I'm going to give you a little bit of history here. Army plays in Mitchie Stadium, 30,000-seater. Do you guys know who Red Blake is? Listen, Red Blake might be one of the best college football coaches ever. He was 121-33 in an outstanding 10 ties. I don't quite understand that. But did you know 3 national titles, 3 straight national championships, and 3 Heisman Trophy winners in that time? So a lot of history with Army. Army, if you remember back in the day, was dominating college football. So we've got North Texas 1-7 against Army 1-6. Drew Bacca versus my dude Ice. Ice has won 239 games in the NDL. I think that's pretty impressive. North Texas had a good win over Arkansas State. Played Tulane to a very, very tough game. I can't go against my man Ice and the bobsledding team he's got. Army is going to win this game behind Bryson Daly. And I think it's going to be close, but Army by 3.
There's absolutely no way I'm going to pick against Army, Navy, Air Force, or hell, UCF now, because they're kind of the two. So I'm going Army. Fullback's going to get 27 carries for 235 yards with a touchdown. Give me Army.
Man, I've been an open North Texas hater my entire NDL career, man. But give me North Texas. I would do anything for Drew Bacca to pull one in, man. Give me North Texas by 3, by 6, whatever it takes, man. But give me North Texas.
Yeah, I'm with you. This also was one of those games where I couldn't find a deciding factor to decide who's going to win. So the biggest deciding factor for me was getting to meet Drew at the NDL convention a couple weekends ago. Amazing, hilarious, a lot of fun. Can sling the frisbee. Just a wonderful guy to be around, and I think he's going to rally his team there at North Texas, and I think they win by 1.
I'm a little more analytical in my approach here. I think both these coaches are fine dudes. Obviously, you're dead inside if you don't have a, you know, love for Drew Bacca after his NDL convention, you know, MVP performance. But it comes down to, for me, that Army has struggled to score this season. You've got games where they've put up 7, 6, 7, 0, and 7 points this year. And while North Texas may be sitting at 1-7 themselves, they have been competitive and gave Tulane South Houston, both very good games that could have flipped if they'd had one play go differently. For that reason, even though they're going on the road here facing the 82nd Airborne, I think Scrappy undresses them and wins the game.
It's a good pick. I don't know who South Houston is. That might be a
Sam Houston. Excuse me.
Nice. In D1. Look, we're obviously going to be biased with our brethren that came to the NDL convention. As someone who got to spend quite a few hours with Drew before our flight, we shared a meal together that was probably the worst barbecue that I've ever had in my entire life. But we definitely broed out over a couple of IPAs at the poker table, shared some very good photos of my travel, wink, wink, and things like that. And I just would never go against him. Even if he was playing Alabama next week, I would go North Texas 100 times out of 100. So absolutely give me North Texas. Love Joe. Great guy. I think North Texas gets it done.
Well, the next game, I don't know how I'm supposed to follow Mark or the Army North Texas team. I'm not even going to try. I barely got up this morning to make the show. I didn't do a lot of research. But we have USC and Nebraska. USC's talked a lot of shit to me, so I love Nebraska. I'll just be honest, Cornhusker all the way. Has nothing to do with ability. I think USC's a really good player, but I just didn't like trash talk. He talked about Ole Miss Smitty this week. So I got Nebraska. They're at home. Nebraska normally plays really tough at home. They normally do some dumb things at the end of the games. I'm hoping he changes that and gets a win. So give me Nebraska.
Sorry, I'm coming. My fault. I'm back to mute screen. Oh, all daddy.
It's a family.
And,
yeah, you know,
Manson family.
I'm sitting here looking through the messages, and man, do I just keep seeing this old Texan old keep popping up, talking some shit, man. And unfortunately, though, to beat Nebraska, so give me USC by 7.
Yeah, this is another one of those things where both great coaches, great programs, kind of figuring out at both schools there. This came down to the same thing that came down to the North Texas Army game as what have you done for me lately? And I got to meet Texan Ole at the NDL convention. There's another plug for next year's convention. I got to meet him. Great guy. A lot of fun. Should probably never bring whiskey to a convention anymore.
Amen.
It was a great time though, and I think that he's kind of figured things out there with USC. Has a lot of firepower on the offensive side of the ball, and Branch is deadly. I think Branch ends up having a really big game against the Cornhuskers, and I got USC winning.
I've got to jump on a similar vein with this one here as well. A lot I can look at there to think reasons why Nebraska could win this game, especially with being at home and some of the playing it loose and struggles that USC has had, even in some of their wins. But at the same time, I just got to come back. I've got more reasons why USC will win than Nebraska. And I think Texan Ole is going to keep that train marching on his way to a likely Big Ten title game berth.
Yeah, so this is really tough for me. Met Texan Ole, great guy. Thought he just a great voice on the mic. Definitely thought he was a black guy when he showed up. He was not. That was kind of the joke of the convention, which was hysterical. Had a nice game of catch or two with him. Guy can spin the football. He can also save anyone's burger from certain death. So with all that being said, love you, buddy, but I do have to go with Nebraska on this one. Big Red, longtime member of the NDL, great player, great guy, playing with his favorite team at home. probably the second instant classic after Mark's game with Cal, for sure.
Yeah, I'm torn on this one. I've known Big Red for a long, long time in our days, early on in the NDL. Texas Noel has been playing well with USC. It's at Nebraska. I got to go. Gosh. As a former UCLA fan way back in the day, you know, Pat will understand this, the ketchup and mustards. I'm going with the ketchup and mustards for the first time ever in my life, and I'm sorry, Big Red, because I love you, dude. But I'm going SC. I'm going SC by 10.
The ketchup and mustards. I will think about you until the end of time when I hear that, by the way.
Down the, I shut it down. I love it.
Ooh, yeah. Sorry, hold on. I had to put doggo away for a second. What game did we get to?
Had to do something.
You're
something. Yeah, I learned the art of muting the mic. I learned the art.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
No.
Don't worry. Hey, it took us 7 episodes to get Penguin talking off mute, so you're fine.
Oh heck!
Wow!
Heck
yeah. Wow!
Wow. Just forget about him.
I'd love for y'all to do a week with my setup and see how you feel about giving me shit after that.
No. 7
times. Tinfoil and shit.
Hey, man, how'd you know? I mean, I tell you what, I couldn't afford a mic, man. I just went to Wally World and got the, what's it called, the antennas from the movies, you know what I'm saying? The little tinfoil antennas, stop you from getting brainwashed. That's what I'm running my mic through right now.
Well, do you know it's your turn to announce the next game?
Oh, is it actually? What's the next game? Hold on. Let's see here. The Texas Tech versus Colorado. Oh, man, give me Colorado by a million miles.
You are literally typing in the chat that it's in.
Big Red, are you Smitty's son? Like, it makes way more sense to me now.
Hey, man, look.
I got my identity. I thought maybe I was wrong. But
I was trying to keep my identity hidden for as long as possible, but it is true. I am indeed a middle-aged, overweight male.
That's why Smitty beat me up so bad. I hurt his child.
On God. Seed, if you'd rather. No, man. I mean, the fact that this is a game of the week, dude. I mean, Texas Tech versus Colorado. I absolutely love what Colorado does day in and day out. I'm taking Colorado by 35 on the way to win, so you fellas be back and go tear some shit up, all right?
This is so before the show, I had Colorado winning just basically because the offensive side of the ball, they have lots of weapons. I think he's going to be able to spread the ball around, and he does some unique things there to get Hunter the ball. But man, the more and more the show went on, I really just had to go back to the NDL convention again. And I think that Texas Tech is going to control the ball. He's not going to turn it over, and I think Colorado's going to have a couple big turnovers early, and it's going to change the momentum of the game here, and I got Texas Tech winning.
I've got to say, sometimes you only got to look as far as the mascots to understand how a game's going to go. In this case, we're going to focus on the Colorado mascot, Ralphie. Now, Ralphie, whether you know or not, is always a female buffalo, because they're less aggressive and a little smaller. That also means she lacks a D, which is just like the real Colorado on the field. And that is going to have everything to do with the outcome of this game. Texas Tech by 2 scores.
It's so hard to pick against my convention guys. But again, just Colorado. After watching a few of his games, he takes care of the ball fairly well. And I think he'll do that here. I think they're, what's the over-under you guys think? 1.5 punts in the game? What do you guys think?
200 points.
Man, I don't know that anybody punts.
Under 1.5 punts. That's what I'm thinking too, especially with our fourth down rules. So give me Colorado in an absolute shootout. I'm thinking 49-42 type game.
Holy shit.
Wow. Hard to follow all this amazing stuff you guys talk about, but here's what I'm going to say. I like both these guys, but EA, and I'm a believes in this Colorado team maybe more than anybody else. They have overpowered this team. So just by that alone, I'm going to go Colorado by 21.
All right, Andy, I need you. If you're not in here, I need you to watch this. Quit waiting until the fourth quarter to use your money plays. I get tired of watching you get down 21 and then using your best plays in the fourth quarter to win. Use them early. Get up early. Put some pressure on. Quit saving your shit for the end. Get up by 21. Make them get pressure. Settle down. With that being said, I got Andy. Colorado.
Great point, by the way, Smitty, with him running his best plays when he's losing.
Right. What is that? Shit. Do it in the first quarter. Go up.
Just open up with it.
Right. So I'm ever down in the fourth quarter, I'm fucked. I've already used all my good stuff.
Oh, that's the worst when you're tied. Hey, wait, is it not the worst when you're tied in the fourth quarter with someone? You're like, fuck, I don't know what to call. I've called it all.
Right. I don't like to call the same pass play twice. So I'm like,
right. Fuck, exactly.
I know
this would
work, but I know if I do this, I don't want to see three angle screens. Me even seen it before. I'm not going to mention any names, but you know,
what's the angle screen?
That douche screen that every player in the league runs, especially the top notch guys. Super fun to defend. I think Vegas told me one time, if you like manually user your DN to a flat and manually user your outside linebacker to this, stop it. I don't have enough time to think about that. So
How do you manually use two guys?
Not real sure.
Maybe that's what I'm doing wrong on defense.
I know one thing. If you're under the defense, it's a fucking
thing. We need Shell to look into that.
Yeah. We got guys manually using multiple players at the same time.
I think we can get somebody else besides Shell looking.
Wow, Mark, I guess the healing didn't work.
No, but at the same time, I had my controller in my hand trying to figure out how to do that, being I don't even know how to shift my flipping line. So,
Mark, you got to turn the controller the other way.
I literally have my controller in my hand trying to figure out how you manually use or two guys. I don't even know how to manually use
plug it in. Plug it in.
Yeah, oh my gosh. My head is spinning right now.
Smitty, can I chime in for a second?
Yeah.
So I run that play. I do. Okay. I run it once a game. I run it into the hash. I'm just going to give this is a scouting report for anyone in the league. And I motion a guy across the formation so you can't like recognize it, or at least you try to at least throw a few people off, right? Because it's only in one formation. And I try my best to throw the ball before the guy crosses the line of scrimmage, because that's why the play is cheesy. The guy will catch the ball like fucking 8 yards past the line of scrimmage sometimes. And is that why you don't like it?
I don't like it because I think it is a cheesy play in the game. I know people say that, oh, when I run it, it gets stopped. I've personally never seen it be stopped.
Man cover. And
I've had it ran against me about 10 times. I've tried every coverage. You can't run man against it. That's no way. I've tried running over there manually with my linebacker. I get butt fucked every time I try to do that. I've tried running cover two. I've tried running cover three. I mean, I ain't the best guy on defense that I know. So, I mean, I don't know what to run. I think it is a cheesy play. I also think the quarterback sneak is a cheesy play without user moving your middle linebacker up to stop it too. So there's a lot of stuff that I think cheesy that I really don't think we care about, but if somebody, you know, spies a defensive end and don't even mean to, we're getting suspension. So I really don't.
Wow. Mark, what do you think about all this?
Me? No one runs the angle screen against me. I think they're scared too because my defense is so crazy good, but I cannot stop a rocket toss to save my face. That the other day, and they really rock it on out of there. My Syracuse D was looking at me on the sideline, and I just said, I don't know what to tell you, fellas.
Who ran rocket toss against you?
No.
Pitt ran a ton of flex against me, and then all of a sudden this rocket toss came flying out there. I'm like, what the heck is this thing?
Pretty good play, really.
Well, he was very good at the flex. very good at the flex. And then this rocket toss came out to the left sideline, and it was like, see ya, Syracuse.
Mark, I played him a few weeks ago, and it was I wasn't ready to face the flex bone against Pitt, and he ran it like 95% of the time.
Yeah, and I was in an argument with my wife on the phone for the first quarter, and that didn't help me any, and I got down pretty good, so that didn't help me, and I was flustered to begin with. So, yeah, not good.
So, Matt, let me ask y'all this. All right, let's say next season the team took somebody like Navy and ran 70% of flex bone and then 30% of wide formations. How do we feel about that in here? I feel like that's the NDL way.
No, it's not.
No.
I'm not hearing your question. Man, the whole thing with this like whole NDL way, I mean, I just brush over it. We have a lot of younger guys in the league. When I say younger, I don't mean by age, that are being smart asses when they write that in there, and that's fine. It all shakes itself out. The NDL way is just not being an asshole. That's all it is. It's right, about respecting right, your opponent. Right. There's no, you can't write the NDL way down. Every single guy in here that's been in here for a long time is going to have a different description on what the NDL way is.
It's not
a papered rule. It's not a fourth down rule. It has nothing to do with that. It's respect your opponent. And like, if the biggest thing that I always say is like, if you don't think you should do it or you don't know, then just don't do it. You shouldn't need no
right.
Like, hey, what's the fourth down rule? I don't know it. Well, if you don't know it, don't do it. Just punt the ball away. It's not that hard. If you punt the ball away, your opponent does the same thing. You respect each other. It's just the craziest thing to me.
Can I address this?
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I might be one of the older guys in the league. I know I sound like I'm 22, but listen, the NDL way is, you know, you're exactly right, Tim. I literally, fellas, I don't know the rules of the NDL because I don't need to know the rules. I play it the right way.
Right.
I think guys are just being kind of jerks about saying, oh, the NDL way. The NDL way is respecting your opponent, like Tim is saying. It is playing a good style of football. It is playing realistic. And I think when the game starts getting realistic, or the thing that drives me the worst is, EA did this to me and EA did that to me. No, it's called a video game and you're the one that's controlling the sticks, and just enjoy being in the NDL because there's not many leagues like this and there's a lot of good people in here. So don't let a few things sway you about the NDL. The NDL way is having a good time.
Well, I'll tell you, there's no other. It is the best. So ain't even close. Best league.
Yeah, that's coming. I was in season one, and in season one, it was like you were scared to death to do anything because the they would come down on you with the hand of God, and you were right back to the farm with 130 knuckleheads. So,
right.
Can I jump in here right now? Is in a really good place, and there's a lot of good young guys in here that are really good. That's going to keep this thing going, and I've really enjoyed. I'm not a video game guy. I don't really enjoy video games, but I enjoy the NDL. So I hope that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Yeah, Mark, I'm going to do the classic corporate. I'm going to piggyback on that. I've been here since day one when we had to like fill 109 members, which was hard enough. People had two teams. And I think when you take 10 years off of a game, someone I think messaged me through like Facebook or something to find like, you know what I mean? To like get me to come back. Like the fact that this many people came back would show you how fantastic the place is. I think there's no other better receipt than that, right? So happy to be back. And I definitely think older folks, like even myself, should be more open-minded to the younger guys or the newer guys, because they are also what carries this league. Like, we wouldn't have a full league if we didn't have new guys.
True.
100%.
Yeah, there's some really very good video game players in here, and I am mesmerized and very impressed by the guys in this room, the guys that are listening. And again, I'm not a video game guy. I don't care. I mean, I got enough going on my plate, but I love watching it. I love seeing it. And I even like when these younger guys score against me and they do these backflips and somersaults. I think it's hilarious.
Dude, when they asked me to come back to the NDL for any Star Wars nerds, I felt like Obi-Wan Kenobi in the desert of Tatooine when Luke said, he goes, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. I was so excited to come back.
When did Penn State and Wisconsin play each other? Did I miss
this morning?
Oh my gosh, missed it, man. Score update, Wisconsin beats Penn State 27-24.
What's Penn State's record?
4-3, 1-3 in conference.
Hmm. Surprising. Hey.
Man, well, it's 10:43 right now. We're going to go ahead and call this a good show. Great topics. Thanks for talking about that, Pat and Mark, at the end, and Smitty for bringing it up. Man,
for the record, let me say this. For the record, I ran triple option with a team. I wouldn't even get in shotgun much unless I was down 20 because I didn't want to be cheesy. So I hope everybody knows.
There you have it, for the record. Yeah,
no idea what the fuck you're talking about right now.
Appreciate everybody getting up on a Saturday morning and listening to us talk and about the NDL and visit with each other and throw some banter out there. We appreciate it. We'll be on again next Saturday morning. Make sure you tune into all the other media stuff, the Outliers, the BBB show is going to be on Tuesday night this week instead of Thursday. And then also we have some other things that'll be going on, and as well as PTD this week, during the day. Take care, everybody.